Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise. You are watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is November 2nd, and we are here to chat AEW Dynamite. And let me start off by saying that I think this show is going to have, this show that we saw here tonight, I think is going to have people on opposite ends on pretty much everything, or at least on a lot of the major things that happened on the show, because I have not seen, usually for Dynamite and for the events that unfold on Dynamite, for the most part, the general consensus is people kind of being in pretty much in agreement. Right? Like there's always going to be a small amount of people that don't like what they see. But for the most part, people are going to agree on whether or not they like something or don't like something, whatever the situation is. And today we had one thing that happened on the show today, or one main thing that happened on the show today that had people on completely polar opposite sides. Overall, the Dynamite for today had people saying this show was great. There was people saying this show was the worst Dynamite that they've seen. We got a little bit of everything here tonight. So I feel that this is going to be already a controversial evening, and we are here for it. As for me, I feel like especially with the main thing that we're going to talk about first, I feel that I am more leaning towards the positive side of things, where I'm not necessarily as negative about what we saw here today. But when it comes to AEW Dynamite's episode as a whole, I would say that I am a little bit 50-50, because I did think that some stuff I liked. Some stuff I was like, okay, this feels good. You know, I'm excited. It's going to give us a lot to talk about. But the other part of me was, ooh, I was not a fan of that, and this was not that great or whatever, right? So I really got to go through things on a case-by-case basis, because there is just going to be so much to talk about here today. Before we get started, everyone, thank you so much for coming in to check out the show. I am incredibly stressed out, because shows like these have me going nuts, because whenever we have shows where Tony like jam-packs it and puts this and that, it's cool, because it gives us a lot to talk about. But at the same time, you're like, fuck, there's a lot to talk about here tonight. Before we get into everything that occurred on today's show, please, if you want to help support the show, if you want to get your question, your comment, your statement, your hot take, your rage, your any sort of emotion that you're feeling, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout this podcast. Not only do super chats help you get your opinions read here on the show, but also they help me out. F4W Online does allow me to keep 100% of the proceeds after YouTube takes their cut. So please do support the show. Help keep me funded by sending in super chats. They are much, 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 much appreciated. But let's get into it, everybody. We're going to kick things off with Darby Allin and Jay Lethal. And this ended up being much more than a match, because it unfolded into a whole bunch of stuff that happened just like alone within the first like 20 minutes of AEW. Now, normally for these shows, I do focus a little bit more on the in-ring side of things, but because I feel this show was a little bit more, I would say that the in-ring stuff wasn't necessarily like a huge standout for today's show. We're going to be focusing a little bit more on the story side of things and just overall the execution of what actually occurred versus focusing a little bit more on the in-ring stuff. But let's get right into it. So first and foremost, with Darby Allin and Jay Lethal on the match side of things, I liked that this match got started right away with Jay Lethal like not even caring about wanting to finish his entrance whatsoever and going right into it with Darby Allin. Jay Lethal for the most part had the offense the entire portion of this match. It really wasn't until probably after the first commercial break that we finally saw a really good spot where Darby Allin finally got a little bit more of control in this match. There were some things that I liked. I did like Jay Lethal doing the figure four underneath the barricade. That was fun to see. And it was also, you know, something that we had just seen on a previous show where he had gotten Darby Allin underneath that garage and got him with the figure four there. And, you know, Darby's going to be willing to do any sort of crazy nonsense type of stuff. Darby Allin taking the German suplex on the apron from Jay Lethal was another cool spot here as well. There was a moment where Jay Lethal goes for the lethal injection, but Darby counters it with a rear naked choke, and that was really the only moment that we really saw Darby start to get things over on his side. And then from here on out, it went into something entirely different. So we had Darby Allin had an opportunity during this match to go in and get the pin on Jay Lethal, but instead he wanted to do the coffin drop, but Jay Lethal is able to get out of the way, does not take the coffin drop, so Darby Allin doesn't do this. This then leads Darby Allin to pulling a pretty epic stunt, which I definitely enjoyed seeing. He does a dive, shooting out like a goddamn rocket, and goes right into the wall that is Satnam Singh. Now, I don't care if you hated today's episode of Dynamite, but this spot right here, I definitely popped for because it looks pretty impressive, man. Like, he did not shy away just from landing straight into freaking Satnam. So it looked pretty damn cool. I thought this was a pretty great visual. And then from here is when things kind of got a little not so great. And this is where we got to pull in. We get a fake Sting that comes through. Fake Sting that essentially goes attacks Darby Allin, cost him the match. Okay, fine. Afterwards, the fake Sting is revealed to be Cole Carter. And I don't know how to tell you guys this, but I did not like this. This was such a huge, letdown. Having Cole Carter come out and be the person underneath the Sting mask, I didn't think was good. And it got no reaction from the crowd whatsoever. It was crickets. Like, nobody cared. Everybody was just like, okay, that's the kid. That's Troy Donovan. Yeah, he was in NXT. And obviously, we've seen him in AEW a couple of times. But for the most part, it's not somebody that instantly you're like, oh, yeah, that's how this person is. Oh, hell yeah, let me react to this. It didn't have that. And so, unfortunately, I did not think that it was really needed here. And I personally just wasn't a fan of how they brought in Cole Carter during this spot. And bless his heart, I think they could have just done it a different way, but this execution of this and how they brought him in, I thought was a huge letdown. So then we continue on from here, and then this is where I think people are going to have different opinions here. So Sting's music hits, and everybody's like, oh my god, now Sting really is gonna come out, because we haven't seen him in a hot minute. And instead, during this, somebody comes out from behind Darby Allin, and it doesn't take you long to figure it out that it's none other than JEFFJARRET, Jeff Jarrett. And lo and behold, Jeff Jarrett, who has worked literally everywhere with everybody, comes in and is apparently now in AEW, because he comes up from behind of Darby Allin, freaking gets him with the guitar shot, and then goes on to cut a promo. He basically goes off and says that he has a couple of things that he says here, but the gist that he gets here is that he basically puts AEW on notice. He says that he's going to come in here and he's going to leave all these guys in full body bags, and that he ends it with, AEW fans, you can choke on that, slap nuts. He also points out that Sting, who was with Darby Allin for quite a minute, was Darby Allin's biggest weakness, and then goes on to give that message to what he says was the delusional AEW fan base. So now we need to talk, before I get into everybody's reactions here. The first thing that I thought was, oh shit, it's Jeff Jarrett. Like, I'm going to start, and some of you already know this because you saw my tweet, but I am a Jeff Jarrett fan, and I like Jeff Jarrett. I'm a fan, man. And I did not realize how many people weren't Jeff Jarrett fans until I asked people on Twitter how they felt about Jeff Jarrett being in AEW. And let me tell you, it got hundreds of comments, and most of the ones that I saw were, we hate it. This is not going to work. We don't like it. Why is he here? Why is this happening? Then the other portion of it was, you know what? Let's wait and see. It was definitely unexpected, but let's see how it plays out. Then there was the minority, I would say. I feel that I'm in the minority here. I feel that I'm in the minority because I saw more negative comments about Jeff Jarrett than I did positive ones. And I really did not think that that was going to be the case. When he came out today on AW, I didn't think people were going to be like as upset as they were on social media. And there was just the main argument that I'm seeing of the front people that didn't like it. And if you didn't like it, I want to know why. And I really do want to know why. I know that maybe, see, here's the thing. Like, one of the things that I saw was people saying, oh, you know, he came in here and he did the Dan Lambert thing, right? And we all know the Dan Lambert thing. Like, there were some weeks where I thought it was funny. I'm not going to lie. Like, I wasn't that person that hated Dan Lambert. I wasn't that person. I actually liked a lot of what he did on there. I thought it was kind of funny, you know, and it worked for the most part until it stopped working, right? At one point, it just got very irritating. But in the beginning, I did like what Dan Lambert was doing. That quickly faded out afterwards. Anyway, so there was a couple of comparisons of Jeff Jarrett being similar to Dan Lambert in the situation with the promo that he cut. However, I do want to, in the favor of Jeff Jarrett, I do want to say that here I think it can work because Jeff Jarrett has decades and years of experience, and he is somebody that can actually work versus Dan Lambert. Jeff Jarrett can actually work, therefore there can actually be a real payoff to a character like this if Jeff Jarrett is doing something similar. So that's one of the things that I do want to mention, because I did see a couple of people pointing out that Dan Lambert comparison as well. The other thing here is that really, Jeff Jarrett has kind of been a little bit of everywhere, like throughout his career, but also more so even just within like this last year. And I'm just going to run through this really quick. He was literally senior vice president of live events for WWE just in May, guys. Just in May. That's not even too long ago. He was the special guest referee for SummerSlam during the tag team match, which was super freaking random. That was between the Usos and the Street Profits, and that was a little bit unexpected. He then left WWE in August when all of those changes were being made, etc. And in addition to everything that he was doing in WWE, on top of that, we saw him do appearances for AAA and for GCW. So there was just a lot. And I can't forget also Ric Flair's last match too. So there has been just a lot where Jeff Jarrett has been, and now he's in AEW. Now, I do want to say that I think the pros of Jeff Jarrett being in AEW is, I mean, we mentioned the experience, we mentioned the knowledge, we mentioned all of that. And personally, I'm thinking, okay, well, this could be a benefit. But there are people that are just completely don't like this because they don't see how he's going to fit into the AEW world, right? Or like Chris Jericho says, the AEW galaxy. So I'm more on the positive side of where this could lead and what it can be. But let's see what you guys are saying. We're getting a couple of super chats here, and I'm curious to see what the feedback is going to be. Here we go. This is one from Jose Campos. Thank you so much to Jose, who says, the most interesting Dynamite to date from celebrity cameos of Lamar Jackson, Rick Ross, Colt Cabana, and Shibata's return, Tony pulling off all the stops. I told you, there was a lot that happened on this episode, and we haven't even begun to cover all of it there. Grapple Geekery sends in a super chat saying, I was waiting for who are you chants from Cole. Road Dog must be pissed. Jarrett getting his spot. thank you to Grapple Geekery for sending in the super chat as well. We have another one from Danny Padilla who says, hi, Denise. I always liked Jeff Jarrett, but Jeff Jarrett really ? I think, I think it can work. I'm willing to give it more than a try. And the other thing that I did see here too, another one of people's comments that I saw, on Twitter, were people saying that, you know, obviously AEW already has a freaking bloated roster, right? There's already like a zillion people that are all elite. So, and people that we don't even see get TV time. So I know there are people saying, why are we getting another person here? And why is this person getting TV time and all of that? So that is something else that was brought up. But again, I feel that it can work. We'll see where it's at. I hope that in a couple of weeks, I'm not sitting here kicking myself in the face for saying that. But I'm more on the positive side, again, of the Jeff Jarrett of Jeff Jarrett appearing on AEW. We got a Grapple Geekery who sends in a super chat saying a Lambert Blue from day one. Maybe for, I know he was getting heat, man, from day one. And some of it was maybe go away heat from day one. Some of it I thought was entertaining. Like, I did not hate it until probably, I think I started hating it once it became the same thing. You know what? I think I started hating it after we saw the whole Dan Lambert, Brandi Rhodes thing. I think that's when I really started disliking the Dan Lambert character, because I think at that point it became a little bit confusing where I was like, I don't even know who to cheer for in this situation, because nobody's coming across as somebody that I'm supposed to be cheering for in this situation. And then on top of that, I think it did take a lot away from Ethan Page at a certain point and Scorpio Sky at a certain point, because they were just in the shadows of Dan Lambert. And then, I mean, we're not talking about Dan Lambert anymore, but this is the point that I was just trying to make, that it wasn't interesting at one point in anymore, but I did like Dan Lambert in the beginning. I did. Justin Martin sends in a super chat saying, if you had Jeff Jarrett, Colt Cabana, and Shibata on your AEW Dynamite bingo card tonight, then congrats, you win new from Acclaimed Scissor Fingers. Also, very happy that the Acclaimed Scissor Fingers are back. We will talk about that more in just a hot second. Thank you to Justin Martin for sending that super chat in. And we got a couple more to read here. This is from Christopher Marino, who says, no time for Miro, Ricky Starks, or Hook, but they have time for Jeff Jarrett. Ugh, I hated it. And there you go, guys. There is a lot. We got people arguing about whether or not they'd rather have Eric Bischoff. People saying that they'd rather have Jarrett over Bischoff or Bischoff over Jarrett. Well, if you haven't seen, there's obviously been that online controversy with Tony and Eric Bischoff. So I'm definitely not expecting that anytime soon. So there you go. But I do agree with Christopher Marino this too. You can't help but to be like, well, there's guys that we would like to see on TV that we don't get to see on TV often. And Miro, speaking of Miro, I know that he has his outside projects too, but his wife, CJ Perry, formerly known as Lana, she did recently do an interview, and I think this was on Busted Open Radio, where she did say that, you know, she had a lot of thoughts about why, when she was asked her thoughts on why Miro isn't seen on TV very often, and she basically said she had a lot of opinions about that, but that all she was going to say is that Miro wants to be champion, Miro wants more, and she also did say that Tony Khan has his favorites, and she kind of just left it at that. So take that for however you want to take that. Thank you to Christopher Marino for also sending in this super chat here today. Original KMO says, I had to take a lap around my living room when Jarrett showed up. Oh, man. Let's see what else we got here. Send in your thoughts, guys. I'm going to pull up some that are non-super chats as well, because I do want to give people an opportunity to get some opinions going. This is from the Juggernaut, who says, no one gets any heat. Jarrett will give you that. I definitely think he will succeed at getting the heat. Shit, he's already getting some today. But I don't know if you want to argue it as different heat, but let's see how it works out, man. All right, so there you go. Thank you for sending that in as well. Oh, man, we'll continue the conversation throughout the entire night and see what you people here are saying, whether or not you like it, whether or not you hate it. Whatever it is, go ahead and let me know. But, ooh, this is going to be a hot topic for a bit now, but let's go ahead and move on. Once again, guys, if you do want to get your question, comment, statement, please send in a super chat. They help me out, they keep me fed, and I love to eat. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the Elite. So earlier today, when Brian said on Wrestling Observer Live that he had been told that there was going to be a surprise here on AEW, that this was going to be, you know, a Dynamite to definitely check out, right? I'm not quoting verbatim exactly what he said, but that was the gist of that. And so when I saw that, I'm like, all right, this definitely has to do with the Elite. I was expecting whatever the big reveal, the big surprise for tonight, I was expecting it to be tied into the Elite or CM Punk. And because that's big, that's honestly what I feel we've been talking about for months now. All we've been talking about is the Elite and CM Punk. So at this point, it feels like Remember that period where all we were doing was talking about Cody Rhodes? And then we went into this period where all we were doing was talking about MJF. And now all that we're doing is talking about CM Punk and the Elite. Like, whatever the hot story is, it's like that to me is what's going to be the big thing on the actual programming itself. So anyway, so that's what I was first expecting. I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, some sort of announcement that had to do with the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega, right? Well, last week, we were here talking about how they did a disappearance video for the Elite and how they were showing all of these moments and then they would have them disappear. And we had the Elite in AEW disappear and all of that. So today we got another video, a little bit different. I kind of liked this one too because it threw me off the way that it was the way that it was brought into the show. It was just out of nowhere. Like, you're watching AEW and I think they said they were going to commercial break. I don't even remember, but they went right into this video where for a split second, I thought that I clicked on something and ended up I don't know why, but I thought that I clicked on something and messed up the feed that I was watching until I realized that this was another video for the Elite. And so they show the Elite winning the Trios title. They show Death Triangle getting the titles instead. They show a graphic of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and they are part of the advertisement. And then they show them disappear from the advertisement. So this was really just another way to just keep showing us that, you know, the Elite were something in AEW, and now their legacy seemed to have been, quote unquote, disappeared. At least that's what they're trying to tell in these videos. But keep taking it as a good sign, especially if you are ready to see the Elite return to AEW. I would say take this as a great sign, the fact that we're even seeing these videos. And so far, I'm liking it. There was a couple of videos that, well, AEW always does really good videos, but there was one that I can't wait to talk about later on today's show because I thought they actually did a really, a very great job with that. But we'll talk about that later. But they did a good job with this one too. And I'm liking the little, I don't know. I don't even think they're Easter eggs. They're not Easter eggs because they're not giving us enough. I hope they do a little bit more Easter egg stuff. You know what? They should. I mean, they did the whole, I mean, obviously we're not talking about WWE right now, but we know that the QR code stuff worked for a lot of people and that became increasingly popular. Hell, maybe they could do something similar to that with the Elite, where you got to figure out, like, what are the clues? When are they coming back? Although I can already tell people are going to be like, Denise, why? They're already doing that on the other side. Why would you even suggest that? I don't know why I'm suggesting that. But either way, take it as a good sign. At least I would, that we're seeing these Elite disappearance videos. They're fun. And we got a super chat here from Danny Padilla. Thank you so much to Danny, who says, Jarrett's podcast with Conrad Thompson is actually really good if you haven't heard it. Also, so glad Shibata's back. So many classic matches in Japan before his injury. Great to see him in the ring again. And we will talk more about Shibata when the time comes, but I have not gotten to listen to Jeff Jarrett's podcast with Conrad. I honestly don't listen to many of the ad-free shows. I don't listen to any of them, so I'm a little bit out of the loop in terms of what is being said on the shows. Unless they make the news cycle, I'm probably not seeing any of it. But thank you so much to Danny Padilla for sending in the super chat. It's much appreciated here. All right, moving on from this, we got Jon Moxley versus Lee Moriarty. Now, I'm just going to be completely straight with you guys. I thought this match was okay. I didn't really think that it was anything more than that. It was an okay match. You got Jon Moxley going in there, throwing them punches on Moriarty, biting him at one point, which, you know, at this point has become a trademark thing for Jon Moxley, where we just see him bite people constantly. The front row or the audience, like in the front area, was distracted because Lamar Jackson was there. And so I didn't know until commentary was like, oh yeah, Lamar Jackson's here. And this is why everybody's distracted. I thought there was like a fan fighting or something. I don't know. I just saw everybody looking the other way, and it did kind of hurt hurt the match a little bit because I felt that people weren't paying attention. And then I started not paying attention because I was paying attention to the people in the front row. So it did take me, this match did not get my interest at any point. Like, I'm just going to be real. I was not interested in this match. So, and they didn't get me there. So unfortunately, I wasn't as, hot for it. I don't know how else to say it. All right. But Jon Moxley does get the win, obviously. A good opportunity regardless for Lee Moriarty because he has gotten some really good opportunities in AEW. And going up against your champion, especially somebody like Jon Moxley, well, damn, call that a good day for him. Ethan Page does attack Jon Moxley and lays him out. I am happy to see Ethan Page finally getting an opportunity to show a little bit more of himself, because truthfully, as I mentioned earlier, when he was, he came into AEW, he started teaming with Scorpio Sky, and then the Men of the Year thing started happening, and then the inclusion of Dan Lambert and all of that. And for a very long time, like I mentioned earlier, they were behind the scenes in terms of they weren't really the main focus. Yeah, they were having matches here and there, but the main focus was Dan Lambert. So I feel like we're finally getting to see a little bit more from Ethan Page, or at least getting to see him in a different light on AEW. So I see this as a win for Ethan Page as well. So I'm definitely totally cool with all of that. All right, so moving on from this, let's get into the sit down with Renee and Saraya, which was supposed to have Britt Baker. Now, I'm a little bit bummed out because I was looking forward to this sit down. I wanted to see Renee mediate Saraya and Britt getting all nasty and throwing really mean shots at each other. And I was waiting for I wanted drama, and I know we're going to get the drama eventually, but I wanted more drama. Sue me. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted Britt, because Britt Baker is really freaking great at the shit talking. She is good at throwing in those one-liners that got you going, ooh, did she really just say that? We haven't really gotten that with this feud with Saraya. We did in the beginning when she mentioned, let's not talk about that whole thing, because that whole segment was probably not the best. And that was the week after Saraya came back to AEW. That probably wasn't the best, but we did have some good lines from Britt Baker where she was saying how people didn't even know how to pronounce Saraya's name, me being one of them, because I kept calling her Saraya because of the spelling. But now I practice and I know it's Saraya. But either way, I thought that was a really good line from Britt Baker. And Britt, we've seen her do this stuff. Like with Thunder Rosa, she had some really great lines. There's been other moments where she has been really great at the shit talking. And I want to see more of that from Britt Baker in the situation with Saraya, in the story with Saraya. So personally, I was bummed when we didn't get this full-on smackdown between them. Sorry, guys. Smackdown was the only word that came up in my brain. All right. So Saraya and Renee end up hanging out and doing this, interview where Renee asks her about why she joined AEW. She basically talks about AEW being the rebel company and being drawn to it. And Renee asks her, where is she at medically? Where is she at? And she says that she is waiting on one more doctor she wants to consult. And I think she's clearly talking about Britt Baker, by the way. I think that was the joke that we were supposed to get. Either way, later on, we get an interview between Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone. And she's just basically saying how she's going to do these interviews on her own time with her own people, because clearly she knows that Renee and Saraya, they're besties, and she clearly doesn't want any part of that. You know what? Respect to Britt Baker on that. I get it, I get it. But either way, I at some point need more shit talking from Britt Baker in this freaking story. I'm ready for it. Also, shout out to Soraya because I did think she did a great job when she was being interviewed by Renee. It felt very casual and very, very natural. Like none of it felt forced whatsoever. This was probably one of the best for her since coming back. So I did like that segment a whole lot. We got a super chat here from Grapple Geekery who says, this Britt and Soraya story is so slow. Get on with it, TK, and it's Dr. Luther. Okay, so I get what you're saying by it going slow. I'm not going to argue that. I get it because, you know, we had Soraya tackle down Britt Baker and then they didn't even really show the rest of that. It was like a quick, she ran in, she tackled her down and that was really like the end of that. And then obviously we had that second week promo, that exchange, that whole thing that happened. And then after that, it's basically been this. So I get what you're saying by going maybe just a little bit slow. I think they just need to pull the plug already and just be like, Soraya is going to wrestle. We all know it already. And here's the match. It's happening. And just tell us. We already know. So let's just, yeah, I get what you mean. Let's get on with it. Thank you to Grapple Geekery for sending in this super chat. I appreciate it, man. All righty. And moving on from here. And let's get into the Daddy Ass Birthday Bash. Now, I'm going to be real with you guys here. I feel that, you know, there have been National Scissoring Day, I thought was really, really fun. I was on board with that, man. I don't know how long that segment was, but it felt like it flew by. I thought it was really good. I didn't think the Daddy Ass Birthday Bash was as good as the National Scissoring Day celebration that they had. I thought this one was okay. I didn't think that Max Caster nailed it with the rap this one, because usually the lines, I like them when they're like really, really good. Like they're like really funny. I thought this one was okay. The best one was when he said, Swerve's acting like he's on drugs. I'm gonna make his ass pay like I'm Elon Musk. That was probably the best line, but it wasn't even like that good. So I was hoping for more of something more shocking, right? More shock value. That's where I'm at on that. But the best part of this was really just them presenting the pink scissors. That was good. The pink foam scissors, because we've been wanting those. I'm excited about purchasing some. So that's good. And then he also presented a plaque basically saying that they are now the officially adopted children of Billy Gunn. And it said William Daddy Ass Gunn on the actual paper. So that was pretty funny. I did like that too. And then they also kind of threw a little bit of a, I don't know if you would say, maybe a little bit of a shot, not a really big shot, but they did mention the DX reunion without saying DX or WWE. But Anthony Bowens had a line where he said, to be honest, I planned so much more tonight. I had special guests from Daddy Ass's past. Two unfortunately canceled last minute, and the rest were kind of upset that you didn't get to go to the reunion. I did think that was a little bit funny to throw that in there, so that's fine. All of that was cool. Finally, the Gun Club comes out, and they're pissed off that they weren't invited, and they're his own children, and they were invited. So then instead they tell him, don't worry, we got you a gift, and W. Morrissey comes out and gives a big old boot to Daddy Ass Billy Gunn, and basically attacks the Acclaimed, and FTR comes out to help them out. So this was fine. I did think it went a little too long. I think they could have just gotten all of the key moments and just shortened it up just a tad bit, because there were some parts that I thought kind of had a bit of a lull. So I think they could have moved it along a little bit faster there, but it was fine. Someone, the Keys Booth, says it was a merch commercial. It was, and it worked. Although I will say this though. So when Jeff Jarrett came out, and instantly I got a Shop AEW email. That's when I got the Shop AEW email, and they were promoting some new merch and stuff. And then they did the whole pink foam thing, and commentary was like, available on shopaew.com. So I go to shopaew.com literally right away, and they didn't have it up yet. So I was a little bit bummed out. And then I went like 10, 15 minutes later, and they still didn't have it up yet. So I'm like, bruh, you guys just made a whole ass QVC HSN commercial here for these pink foam scissors, and they're not up yet on awshop.com. I'm sure they're up now. I don't know if they are, but they had to have gotten those up a lot faster because I was ready to buy one. And now, if I remember, I'll go back to shopaw.com and buy myself one. But either way, happy they finally got the foam scissors. They have to. Those things are money makers. And also, but it is fun to see the fans come out and bring out their own scissors and stuff like that. That's always really cool. Hector Rodriguez sends it a super chat. Thank you so much to Hector, who says, seeing Colt Cabana back was a blessing and also a little bit of a middle finger to Punk. Question is he still technically a part of the Dark Order? So that leads us into our next portion of the show. And our next portion of the show was Chris Jericho versus a former Ring of Honor champion for the Ring of Honor World title. Now, we were all wondering, who is this person going to be? Well, it ended up being Colt Cabana, a two-time Ring of Honor tag team champion, and he comes out and he is the guy to be facing Chris Jericho. Now, like Hector Rodriguez here, who sends in the super chat, I totally saw this as this was literally just an F you to CM Punk. Like that's how I took it. And based on your super chat, I'm pretty sure a couple of other people took it that way too. This to me was just them doing this to troll CM Punk, whatever you want to call it, however you want to see it. That's what it was, guys. For me personally, I thought, where do I go with this here? There's a lot to this story because the history with Colt Cabana and CM Punk, man, that's a long one. We'd be here all day recapping everything, but let's not forget that this was part of what started a lot of this. Damn. When CM Punk came out to that media scrum, that was the first person that he was, you know, talking about and everything that went down with him and just all of that. And so it is definitely a big, they definitely were trolling CM Punk with having Colt Cabana be the one in this match, especially because we still don't know what the future looks like with CM Punk and AEW. We still don't know. Really, we don't. Is he still part of the Dark Order? No idea at this point. I don't even know anymore. The other thing that I want to say, though, is that I personally felt that I was hoping, I saw this for what it was, and I was kind of hoping for somebody different. When Colt Cabana came out, I was expecting somebody entirely different. I don't know who I was expecting or what I was really expecting, but I think I was expecting just, I wasn't expecting Colt Cabana. I really was not. So a little part of me just went, oh, okay. Like this is all it is. Like this is all it is just a jab at CM Punk and that's it. So I think once I realized that, I just didn't really have much interest in seeing this match. And I thought that the match was just a match. I didn't think it was anything extraordinary. It was just there. He did get some nice welcome back chants, which was nice to see. But that was it. Chris Jericho gets the win. Afterwards, Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society hold down poor Ian Riccaboni. And Jericho takes his glasses off, puts them on, and does like a ugh face to the camera. That was pretty funny. Claudio comes out, jumps Chris Jericho. And at this point, everybody and their mothers comes out. I lost track, man. And we just see a full-on brawl on the stage. And I will say this. We've been seeing a lot of brawls, a lot of them. So I'm kind of at the point now where if there's a brawl and I lose a little bit of interest with too many brawls. Like, if you're going to do them, I think we got to spread them out just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, man. But that's where we're at with all of this, guys. Let's see what you thought. How did you feel about Colt Cabana being the person to come out and face Chris Jericho in this match? Let's see what we got here. Grapple Geekery just says, deuces, Phil. Man, guys. And I know the majority people here are really pissed off at CM Punk. I know. Guys, I know. Still hurts me though, because I'm still a CM Punk fan. And I know people are like, what the fuck? You're still a CM Punk fan after all that? God damn it, you, Denise. You're awful. I can't help it. It hurts, guys. It really hurts. Bro, my favorite. Okay, my number one is Jericho. I've been a lifelong Chris Jericho fan. My number two is CM Punk. Damn, this puts me in a very uncomfortable situation as a fan. I'm coming from a fan perspective. As a fan, I'm like, fudge, why did this shit have to happen? Damn it. Grapple Geekery sends in a super chat saying, the Dark Order all tweeted about his return. Class. Thank you so much for Grapple Geekery for sending in the super chat and also letting us know. Alrighty, let's go ahead and see what else we got here and see what people are saying. Thank you to Taz here who says, no shame in that, Denise. I appreciate that. Original KMO says, brawl, rinse, repeat. Boy, the brawls keep on coming. Man. And this whole thing is going to start, like, I'm already seeing it in the comments here. You know, obviously, there's going to be people that side with the Elite. There's going to be people that side with CM Punk. There's going to be people that side with neither. The way that I see things, guys, is just because one person, I don't know. There's just too much to this story. There's so many things. There's things that I agree with the Elite. There's things that I agree with CM Punk. I don't see things as black and white. You know, like, shit, man. Because one person did something bad doesn't mean that they're all entirely bad and that that automatically makes the other person by default good, you know? It can't be like that. Like, we're all humans and shit. Like, not everybody's entirely bad and entirely good. So I do think that there are some things that I agree with on the Elite side, but then there are things that I agree with CM Punk on some of the things that he said in that media scrum. So I feel that I lean, depending on what portion we are talking about in the Elite versus CM Punk's whole drama. Obviously, I still don't think that CM Punk should have gone out there and done that, but damn, it's where we're at now. So there you go. Let's see what else we got here. And let's move on because we still got a couple more things to talk about here today. As a reminder, if you're here on the show, just know this. I am live 3 times a week. So if you're enjoying this podcast so far, I'm live on Tuesdays where I chat NXT. I'm live on Wednesdays to chat AEW Dynamite. And it's usually my most popular show of the week because you just never know what the hell's going to happen on Dynamite. And then on Fridays, I'm here to talk about Rampage and SmackDown. So if you guys want to chat pro wrestling with me, feel free to come in those dates and I will be here. Also, this Saturday morning, I will be live on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm about to hit 74,000 subscribers. So if you guys haven't gone over there to subscribe, please subscribe. I run that channel entirely myself. All the money that I make from F4W, from Fightful, from GCW, from wherever the hell I work that weekend, all my money goes back into my YouTube channel to pay to people to help me with the channel, to help me post clips up, to fund these trips that I go on, to get interviews with talent. All of that is paid for by me from the money that I make working these other jobs. So please go and support that channel. On top of that, I will be live on Saturday morning watching Crown Jewel because I need that content. So I will be doing a watch along of Crown Jewel. I know it's going to be super early, but if you guys want to check it out, you are more than welcome to go over there and check out that Crown Jewel watch along. So I will be live for that. But now let's get into this next matchup here because we still got a couple more things. Orange Cassidy, Luchasaurus, Rey Fénix for the AEW All Atlantic Championship. I thought this was probably on I'm gonna say this was because I did like the main event too, but I would say that I probably liked this match a little bit more in terms of the in-ring stuff that we saw here today. This was probably on my favorite side of things. I thought we had a really nice start with Orange Cassidy and Rey Fénix just going at it together. That was really fun. Obviously, Orange Cassidy hitting that awesome DDT that he usually does, hitting it on Rey, I thought looked phenomenal. Luchasaurus chokeslamming Rey Fénix through the table, and then we see the return of Jungle Boy. So Jungle Boy comes back when Luchasaurus was about to chokeslam Orange Cassidy off the stage, and Jungle Boy returns, and then Jungle Boy decides to freaking go all crazy and he just launches his body onto Luchasaurus, and literally they both go off the stage and dive into that platform that was there. I think this was a situation where it probably looked cooler in person than it did on TV, but still, it was fun. It was nice. It's just that I think the the platform was too, I don't know, I don't want to say too big. That's terrible. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But I think it looked cooler on live than it did on TV. Anyway, so afterwards, we got a moment here in this match where Pac tries to give the hammer to Rey Fénix so that he can use it and cheat his way through the match, but he decides not to use it because that's not who he is. So Orange Cassidy hits the Orange Punch and retains his AEW All-Atlantic Championship. So perfectly fine match. That was only, I think, his second title defense now. So I think the first one was with Rouge and 10 on Rampage. And afterwards, we see Pac come out and he attacks Orange Cassidy. This all leads to Shibata coming out with Rocky Romero and Best Friends. So this was another thing that had people going, holy shit, what the hell is happening here? So this is all leading to a match with Shibata and Cassidy at AEW Rampage for the AEW All-Atlantic Championship. This was probably the only thing that I saw today on social media that people were legitimately all in agreement that they were excited for this. The only thing here, we haven't seen him wrestle since Wrestle Kingdom, since he wrestled Ren Narita, and we haven't seen him wrestle since. And as you guys know, he did have he was hurt, had a very, very serious injury, brain injury on top of that, and literally nearly died. And so my whole thing is, I just hope he's okay now. I hope that, I don't know, like, you know, obviously, I'm going to take it as a good sign, clearly, that he's out here to have this match with Orange Cassidy, but I just hope that all is good, and if all is good, that I'm totally excited for this match. This was probably, because one of the things that has been hurting Rampage a whole lot is that the show hasn't really been a must watch. This, to me, this match here and some of the other stuff that we'll talk about that was announced for Rampage actually feels like a must watch Rampage with this match alone. But the fact that it is on Rampage was also pretty interesting because, again, like I said, Rampage hasn't necessarily been like the very best as of late, but this could also be a reason to actually get you to watch Rampage again and get those numbers up and whatnot. So I hope that all is well. But we got some super chats in here and seeing what people are saying. Hector Rodriguez sends in a super chat saying, I know I'm late, but I didn't have a chance at the time, but here's my congrats to Denise on her wedding. Don't rip me apart, chat. No, you're so nice. Thank you so much to Hector. I appreciate that, man. Seriously, I really do. Thank you so much for sending this in. It's very, very, very appreciated. And let me get into some more here. This is from Jose Palomares. Thank you so much to Jose, who says, do you think they're going to keep the three-way match formula on Rampage adding Pac this Friday? I don't want it, but it's been happening. Thank you for all. I think for this match, they shouldn't, because that the whole thing that people are excited for are seeing Shibata and Orange Cassidy. If they were to add Pac, though, I would not mind at all. If they were to make it into a three-way, I'm totally cool with that because it's not like Pac sucks. Pac freaking rocks. I fucking love Pac. So personally, I wouldn't mind if they did add him to the match, but I think the people are already excited for this one-on-one match, and I feel like once you already make that decision and people are actually excited about the match, leave as is, you know? Leave as is. You can add Pac or do something else with Pac at another time, and I also don't think that they should just keep the same formula. That's the one thing that I did mention, too, that I think Rampage needs to switch up their formula and the show needs to feel a little bit more spontaneous, similar to Dynamite. Thank you so much to Jose Palomares for sending in this super chat as well. We have another one here from my good friend Sheldon Jackson. Sheldon says, honestly, I want Shibata to win this match, but I don't care. But I don't know how this match ends because it can go either way. I'm so torn on this one. It's got to be Orange Cassidy. It's got to be Orange Cassidy. This is I don't see any problem with Orange Cassidy getting a clean victory here. In fact, it would definitely freaking help him out there. So personally, I think Orange Cassidy needs to get the win and it needs to be a clean win. At least I would hope so. And I'm cool with that, man. As long as we get a good match, which I think we will, I'm totally cool with that. That's where I'm at on this side of it. Hector Rodriguez sends in a super chat saying, to quote Tempest, oh my God, it's Shibata, and is all Atlantic Division becoming the X Division in the early 2010s with the triple threats? I love that everybody's pointing that out about all the triple threats, but I don't mind it as long as it's good stuff. Like when they had Orange Cassidy, Rouge, and 10, they could have probably just done Orange Cassidy and Rouge. Like that would have been perfectly fine. So that one didn't need to be a triple threat match, but it was kind of complicated since they had announced 10 and Rush and then added Orange Cassidy, which technically made the original match better, but they could have really done Orange Cassidy Rush had they announced that first. But there you go. Hector Rodriguez, thank you so much for sending in this super chat as well. All right, guys, let's see where we're at here. Let's continue on from this. After this, we got Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir for the TBS Championship. This was really more so to push, get Jade Cargill another win and continue the whole, you know, beef with her and Nyla Rose, because Nyla Rose and Vicky were out there pretty much trying to distract Jade Cargill during this match. Nyla was eating potato chips. She was crunching. She was looking like me when I'm snacking on these shows. And so I did think it took a lot. It was hard to focus on Jade and Marina, the match itself, but it went really, really quick, and Jade got the win with the Jaded. She's now 41-0, so I thought, okay, this is fine for what it was. Jade Cargill gets a win, and they continue the story with her and Nyla. Cool. I'm fine with it. You know, Nyla's been, you know, messing with her, and Jade Cargill doesn't like to be messed with, but Nyla's not giving a damn, so I do kind of like that little you know, because I see Jade, like Jade is she's the cool girl, right? She's the badass girl that's like, I'm all about money and I'm perfect and I'm flawless and I'm just winning at life. And Nyla Rose is just here to disturb her peace. And I'm here for that. I kind of like that. So I do want to put over Jade there. All right, so let's get into one of the things that I really liked on today's show, and I mentioned earlier today, was the video packages. We mentioned the Elite one that occurred earlier on. But damn, my favorite one was this House of Black one. I loved it. And you want to know why I loved it? Because when they do these like creepy, scary stuff, it usually comes across as very, very corny and cheesy. And you guys know that I'm not really into like the dark world and the poetry of it all and reading between the lines and trying to figure out what all this means. I'm not really into that. That's not what I signed up for. It's just not me. Okay, fine. I love this. And I loved this House of Black one because it didn't come across as cheesy. I actually thought it was really freaking creepy, man. They did a great job. Okay, so this is what happens. So we have Julia Hart, and she's coming out there, and it's the members of the House of Black, I think, and they're wearing like masks and stuff, and they're hooded and all of this, or these other people, or she comes out with other people. Whatever. She's Julia Hart comes in with her posse, whatever. And then we're seeing, yes, we're seeing Malakai Black. We're seeing members of House of Black, and they are corpses. They're corpses on the ground, and they look really freaking creepy because they're like wrapped in white sheets. Ugh, I'm not here for that. That's very, very creepy. Sorry, but like death stuff creeps me the hell out, man. I'm that person that cringes even seeing coffins. So coffins and all of that really just messes with me. Like, I love violence. I love blood. You guys know this. I love that stuff. But anything death related, I'm like, ooh, that's creepy. So it works. It works because it gets you to kind of feel like a little bit uncomfortable. So anyway, so you're seeing their corpses there. Really great visual effects for all of that. And from my understanding, she does something to their forehead. I don't know what she does to them. Some sort of black voodoo, black magic type of thing. And later on, we see them like get buried. But then afterwards, we hear the voice of Malakai Black. And he says, this is what he says. I have to read it verbatim because I won't remember this. He says, all must end, so all must suffer anew. Father of the black light, giver of the sight that takes, giver of the sight that creates, forgive me not, Father, forgive me now, Mother. And then the hand shoots up from the grave and flashes back to Malakai Black's face. So I'm assuming she like brought them back to life. I don't know. I don't even think I understood this. I think she brought them back to life. I think they were like dead and then she brought them back. And I'm guessing Julia Hart is now like the new leader because he said, "Forgive me now, mother." So she's like, I don't know. Is she the mother? See, guys, I'm not good at this stuff. I'm not good at trying to decipher what this stuff means, okay? I'm very, very simple. Just tell me what it is and I'll figure it out from there. But either way, I freaking liked it. So shout out to whoever did the production for this because it was really great stuff. Hector Rodriguez sends in a super chat saying, anybody else think that they should add a stipulation to the TBS and TNT championships that if you make it 10 defenses, you can turn it in for a world title shot? No, because I think it kind of, you don't want to diminish your TBS and TBS champion, TBS, you don't want to diminish any of your championships, right? You're not your TNT championship, not your TBS championship. And I feel like there's should be a sense of pride in, for example, if you're the TNT champion and you've made it past those 10 defenses, and yeah, being AEW world champion is the ultimate goal, but I feel like there should be that pride of, you know, being the TNT champion for a long time and wanting to hold on to that title versus wanting to cash it in for something else. So I think I would say no, just because I wouldn't want it to diminish those championship belts. But I get what you mean, though. But I'm going to say no from my personal taste. Ben Condell sends in a super chat saying, using Doug Bradley as a voiceover for the House of Black video was perfect. That was him? Oh, shit. Didn't even know that. All right. Thank you so much to Ben Condell for sending that in. I did not realize that. Thank you, Ben. All right. And moving on from here, last but not least, the last thing we got to talk about on this show is Samoa Joe versus Brian Cage for the ROH TV World Champ for the ROH TV Championship. And I thought it was a fine match. I thought it was a decent match. Personally, I liked Wardlow versus Brian Cage a whole lot more than Brian Cage, Samoa Joe. But I was happy to see this match because, like I said, I liked Brian Cage and Wardlow, and I feel like obviously we haven't really seen much of Brian Cage. We know that. And so after seeing him in that match, I want to see him, you know, continue on, go out there. Like, you had a good match, man. Let's have you come back and do another good match. And we don't get to see Brian Cage very often. And I think putting him in matches like the one he had with Wardlow and the one that he had with Samoa Joe definitely suit him best. The only thing I didn't like, so afterwards, Samoa Joe gets the win. Good. The only thing I didn't like is we're just, again, the brawls, too many brawls. It's the same thing. We got the Gates of Agony coming out there and attacking Samoa Joe. This is starting to feel very repetitive. Wardlow coming out, having Samoa Joe's back, again, repetitive. If it's not one guy coming out to have one guy's back, it's the other guy the following week. So it is a little bit repetitive. Cena been there, done that. But Hobbs coming out and attacking Wardlow and then signifying that he's going for the TNT championship. We were just talking about this last week, how Hobbs has been looking freaking phenomenal. Like, the dude is in shape. So seeing him come out there and signify that he's going for the TNT championship, cool. I don't know if he's going to actually take the championship away from Wardlow, but regardless, I'm looking forward to the matchup. So I don't hate it. I don't hate, Hobbs and Wardlow being what's next there. So there you go. That was the show, guys. And I need to pull up the matches really quickly because I did not write them down. I tweeted them out, but I didn't actually write them down for myself. So before I wrap up this show, really quickly, these were the matches that have been announced so far. So for this Friday, obviously we have Cassidy and Shibata for the AEW All Atlantic Championship, which we talked about already. Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter against Sky Blue and Madison Rayne. And there are going to be more names announced for the title eliminator tournament that's going to culminate at Full Gear. And Mike Tyson will be on commentary. They've been pushing that a whole lot, man. Like, they're really excited about Mike Tyson being on commentary. So we'll see how that goes. I could care less. But Dynamite, we have FTR and the Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory and Gun Club. And they also said they're going to be announcing more matches for Dynamite on this Friday's episode of Rampage. And also, I should mention, too, that another match was added to AEW Full Gear, that match being Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter for the interim AEW Women's World Championship. guys, I'm wondering if they're going to actually pull the plug. I don't know. I really legitimately do not know if they're actually going to pull the plug and have Jamie Hayter win the championship. I don't know. It does suck that it's the interim championship, and that's going to take away some of the hoopla from the celebrations, I think, whether or not, like, part of me wants to see Jamie Hayter win, but then I think, oh, well, it's the interim championship. So then part of me thinks that maybe they should just have Toni Storm retain. That way, I don't know, because it does take away a little bit from the celebrations and from the excitement when it's the interim championship versus the actual championship. And I hate to say that, but that's just the way I feel. So I'm not going to lie. So there you go, guys. That was AEW Dynamite November 2nd. Seriously, thank you so much to each and every single one of you who tuned in. If this was your first time checking out the show, please tweet me. Let me know what you guys thought. Let me know how you guys feel about the show. Let me know how you felt overall in terms of AEW Dynamite. Also, if you haven't already, please make sure to follow me on Twitter @_DeniseSalcedo. I am so annoyed at myself because I haven't gotten to 100K, and that is my goal for the end of the year, and it's feeling impossible right now. So please, if you haven't followed me on Twitter, I'm @_DeniseSalcedo. I'm super, super active, so make sure you guys go there, and then youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. But other than that, I will see you guys back here on Friday for AEW Rampage and SmackDown Conversation. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone.